Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017.
Alright, welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live on Crowdcast and live on Facebook Live. So, village, with that in mind, show is started. I'm live right now. We're going to get started on some topics here. And as I stated earlier, if you guys notice, a small speech impediment, had some dental work done throughout the week, so I'm a little bit lispy, if that's the correct word to say. But we're gonna plug through the show, and if it gets that bad, I'll let you guys know, and I'll just jump off, and we'll just pick up topics some other time, and go from there. And so with that, village, let's just go ahead and start jumping into these topics because there's quite a few topics to jump into this week. And let's see here. All right. So let's jump into this first segment here, the What the Trump segment. Now, Steve Bannon is out, but what does that really mean? What does it really mean in reference to the Trump administration at this point that Steve Bannon is actually out? In my opinion, this is going to be a bad thing. And here's why. If Bannon decides that, because his views were not celebrated, for lack of a better word, I can see this being bad for President Trump. I can see him going back to Breitbart, obviously, and picking up a job there and writing about the truths that go on inside the White House and stuff like that. And this could all come crumbling down around him. Now, this is only my thoughts. Steve Bannon could have just left quietly, and that's that. There's no other way to say it. But what if Steve Bannon is literally like, I'm going to take him down because he doesn't celebrate the views that I celebrate, and this is why we got him there in the first place? You know, in a sense, President Trump could be trying to do a 180 and really just be trying to reinvent himself. You know, there are many that are calling for him to just simply resign. And at this point, he could literally be like, you know what, I'm not going to resign, but I am going to try and reinvent myself. I am going to get the right people around me to help me with the rest of this, the rest of my term. Now, will he get a second term? You know, that waits to be seen. We don't know if he'll get a second term. I personally highly doubt it if he'll get the second term. But I'm just one person. I don't know. I don't speak politics the way the experts do, obviously. I'm just a guy right here in front of this mic with an opinion and a sore jaw right now because some dental work. So, there it is. All right, village. So, as far as Steve Bannon goes, you know, we really do have to monitor this and see how far it actually goes. Now, we're looking at the possibility of him actually saying a lot of bad things about the Trump administration. And truth of the matter is that these things are already being said about the Trump administration. So, you know, it's an ugly, ugly perspective when I'm over here trying to get Slink on, you guys. So we'll see here in a second if it works. But as far as adding, or as far as Steve Bannon just leaving the White House, it really, really just depends on, you know, what he wants to do. It really just depends on what is going on. And what's up, my brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
All right, bro. All right. So I was sitting here telling the village I have a slight speech impediment this show. Had a little, okay, little dental work.
Okay.
And if I sound funny, don't laugh at me too much. But we got Slink in the village, y'all. We're doing our thing. Slink, I was just discussing Steve Bannon being fired, and I wanted to know, what does it really all mean? So I've kind of said my thoughts briefly. What are your thoughts about Steve Bannon being fired, and what does it mean for the Trump administration?
You know, man, to be honest with you, I don't know what it means to be honest with you when it comes to that portion of it, that little question. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's kind of typical what's been going on with, you know, with that administration. It's like every week it's something, but you can kind of see it coming because, you know, they've been kind of talking about this for a while. You know, and with Kelly in there now, and you know they're trying to get some order to the chaos in it, but I think it's beyond repair, you know, in that aspect. But as far as Bannon's role, I mean, now he's stepped away in the capacity that he was helping the administration. I mean, I truly don't know. I mean, because I mean he's still saying that basically, you know, he's going to have some kind of imprint on that administration. I believe he'll still be influential to it, you know, but I think it's just one of the things where it's kind of behind the scenes, you know, because before, you know, he was a big part of that media cog. I mean, that far right. So, you know, with his show that he had and all that stuff. So I'm not a show man, but it's just typical of what's been going on with this administration. So I'm not surprised. I know that for a fact. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, what I'm expecting, and I'll say it to you, what I'm expecting is Steve Bannon to kind of maybe go on a little bit of a tirade when this is all said and done. I think he'll go on a little bit of a tirade, or he may not. Who knows? I don't know. I hope he doesn't. And here's why. He's still the president. You may not like him. I'm not a fan of his. But at the end of the day, the man's still the president. We already look bad to other world leaders. The last thing we need is the former chief political strategist leaving the building and tearing it down on the way out the door. Mm-hmm. We don't need any more of that. We've had enough of it. Excuse me, Village. I had a little swallow. Sorry. But that's what we don't need. We don't need Steve Bannon tearing the place down even more around us. So I'm definitely hoping he just leaves quietly, goes back to Breitbart, and that's it. That's what I'm hoping. And that's it. That's all I got for that one, man. What else do you think about that? If you have anything else?
I don't have too much more on it, but you know, that is a possibility that he could burn down the house on his way out, you know. Could just burn the bridge, you know. Well, I don't know. We'll see if there's true loyalty or allegiance after all this is said. So, you know, that's one of the words that they try, that the president throws around, you loyalty and stuff like that. So we're going to see what happens. But I know one thing. He has a lot of ammo that he could, and we all know that he could use. I mean, because you saw what was happening with a lot of the leaks and stuff that we get exposed to. So imagine what Chief Strategist has and his insights towards the inner thinkings of this president and what his true plans are or whatever plans he has for the future. Mm-hmm. For some of the stuff he's trying to roll out and trying to do or roll back. So he could just unleash all that, you know, but we'll see.
Okay. That's it, man. That's all we can do is wait and see. Because mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how this is going to play itself out. I don't know. It's because it just seems like a big dumpster fire at this point. You know what I mean?
It's a
dumpster fire, and literally all the rats are just running.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
That's just what it looks like, man. Like, it just kills me how many people are just like, oh, everything is fine. I'm like, no. No, it's not fine. Stop mm-hmm. saying that.
Yeah, it's definitely not fine.
No, it's definitely not fine.
Yeah. Turn a blind eye, you know. That's how people are. Oh, turn a blind eye to it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how people are. It's like, you know, well, turn a blind eye to it, it's going to go away. No, it ain't going to go away. You know, so it's letting it fester. So, you know, yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about this continued backlash over Trump's defending of white nationalists, KKK, and Nazis here. I, for the life of me, am still blown away that he is literally defending neo-Nazis and KKK. Oh, there was good people on both sides. And I'm thinking to myself, last time we checked, neo-Nazis, KKK, and white nationalists are not good people.
Not at all.
Like, I don't even understand how that statement comes out of your mouth. How do you say there is good people on both sides? If you don't like Antifa for what they do, what they stand for, I get it. You know what I mean? Antifa is an anti-fascist group. Mm-hmm. I understand why you would say that. Right? But to equate good people, the KKK, neo-Nazis, and white nationalists as good people, no.
Mm.
Absolutely, I can't even fathom the idea of putting that in my brain and then spitting it out for the public to hear it. That's insane. So, I don't know, man. Going forward, what is he going to have to do to fix this if he can't even fix it? Is it even possible at this point?
My opinion, I don't think there's no fixing that. As far as with him, mm-hmm. I mean, the country, we're gonna have to figure it out on our own as individuals. Everybody's gonna take a deep look inside. You know, that's what's gonna fix this in the true conversation about stuff, about things. Now, as far as him and his administration and being able to right the ship from this, I don't think so, man. You have to make that unequivocally known and solid in your stance against that and call it for what it is. It's terrorism. It's not domestic terrorism. It's not whatever. It is terrorism. The word, there's no watering it down. It is what it is. Why aren't you calling that what it is? It's terrorism. Those are terrorists. Those dudes, they say freedom of speech. Yes, there is freedom of speech, but what you're pushing and what you're saying, it's insightful. And it's, I mean, it's not just hate rhetoric. I mean, it's insightful what you're doing. And that whole Charlottesville thing, I mean, you know, there's evil and there's the people that are trying to combat the evil. That's the two sides you have there. So you can't tell me, oh, so there's good Nazis and there's this good fascists and there's good idiots over on the other side, right? No way. That's not good. You can't tell me there's good people on both sides. You're trying to play both sides and trying not to upset those races and those bigots that voted for you is what it is. And you're trying to toe the line. You know, that's what that guy has no loyalty to anything but himself. And that's what that boils down to. It's like, hey, man, it's like, it's so easy for you to step up and say what you need to say, like every past president has, you know. And then when he goes in before you backtrack on what he says, and when he does say something about it, his lips are pursed. You can see the angst in his face and see that the uncomfortableness of him saying what he was saying. He didn't want to say it. It looked almost like a child up there saying it. Like somebody forced him to go write that shit on the blackboard. That's what that was like, me watching that. That's what I could equate that to. And that's what that was. That's what we saw. And so that's why you have the next day where he comes back and he retracts everything he said. You know, so the guy is ridiculous, man. You know, he's a, like you said, it's a dumpster. He's a dumpster fire walking, man. Whole administration's a dumpster fire, but he's the top head of the snake. And it is really embarrassing. It really is, man. It really is.
Yeah. It's, at this point, man, it's so, it's just, you know, even if you didn't vote for him, you still want him to do well.
Yes.
That's what this is about. I don't care about if you like him or not. You still want the president of the U.S. to do well. Mm-hmm. If you live in the U.S., rather. Yeah. This whole thing about, you know, all these white supremacists that support him are blatantly saying, hey, Mr. President, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When you have white supremacists that are thanking you for your rhetoric, either you know what's going on or you're just too oblivious to truly understand it. Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he fully understands what's really going down. I don't think he fully gets it. Like, I don't think he fully gets what's going on. I don't think it's actually hit him yet. I think when this is all said and done, he'll go back and he'll look and be like, what in the hell was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
He'll say it to himself. He'll never admit when he's wrong. That's the kind of person that's the kind of person he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he'll never admit when he's wrong. But behind closed doors, when it's just him standing in front of that mirror, he'll look and be like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And now he'll have to live with this for the rest of his life. And that's what I see happening. So, you know, is it upsetting at this point that he's still the president? No, it's not upsetting for me. And here's why. Because we kind of, at this point, we kind of know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of know what happened today. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all looking for that. As soon as you see him tweet something, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
No issues here. Send. Look for the issues. Mm-hmm. You know? So, it's... God, man. All we can do is... You know what? I'll pray for the man. Because I want to see him do well. If he can turn this all around, then so be it. I am all for him turning this around. And we'll leave it at that. Okay, so... And we already talked about the last piece here. Well, we'll kind of talk about this real quick, real brief. In your opinion, Slink, how much longer is this actually going to last? Trump administration, how much longer do you really think this is going to last?
Man, honestly, I honestly don't know, but I say to myself, and I say it lots of times when speaking on the subject with folks, I kind of give an inkling of that in my mind. I think that I don't see the entirety of 4 years. I can't fathom it, man. Going at the pace that is going down the toilet, you know, it's swirling now, man. It's going down the drain really, really fast. So, I mean, you know, look at the chaos we've had at, how many days was it, 200-something days or 200 days or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
right? And look at all the turmoil that's in the wake of hatred and diversion and fiscal mismanagement. The list can go just on and on. Lack of leadership. You see that. With all that, and then with so many eyes being on it, with us, social media, everybody being really involved in it, people being able to step up and let things be known and put the word out and spread knowledge, spread the stuff, spread what's going on and making people aware. When you have these kind of factors and you have the government bodies, you know, you have both of the branches, you have Senate, you have the legislative branch, basically, you know, keeping this guy in check, and his own party is crumbling, trying to save itself, trying to distance itself from him, trying to correct what he's doing. Every day it's a juggling act. So how long can that juggling act go on? I don't know. The circus doesn't look like it's going to be too successful too much longer. So I can't see 4 years of it. So that's where I stand with it. But how to get him out of there, how this is going to implode or explode, I don't know. It could go a couple ways. It could be, you know, impeachment, you know, it could be a couple things, but his competency is really, it is really
it's in the toilets.
It's in the toilets. The notion of that is being really, really challenged, that he is a competent person. You know, this is the great business. This is the great deal maker, right? Man, this dude, if he's in the guy in the bubble. If you can't approach everything in the world like that, and this is a prime example of showing you that, you know, this guy is filthy rich, but that still doesn't matter. World, you know, hey, the world, you know, our country people are really, you know, they're stepping up. So, you know, so I don't know. I can't see 4 years of it.
Yeah, I can't either. You know, I talk with, Chance texts back and forth because he's kind of taking the summer off from the show, what have you. But truth of the matter is, man, he has stated before, this will not last for 4 years. There's no way, whether he resigns or he is impeached, this will not last for four more years. Three, no, this will not. His first term will not be complete. Hold on here. I got something that popped up on me. This will not last for 4 years. It simply put, it won't. And here's why I think it won't last as long. Won't last for the full 4 years. If you look at the nature of what he's doing, his respect factor in the world, we have other world leaders who are literally like, we cannot do business with the U.S. because of him. When the multiple lies come out, you know, what's the young lady, Heather Hare, her mother was like, yeah, Trump has not reached out to me. And that's just some of the little lies that he has said. The little lies. Right? All presidents lie. Obama lied. Clinton lied. They all lied. Mm-hmm. It's part of being a president. I don't give a damn. I'll say it. Lies. Yeah. All, oh, yeah. Politicians, you're all full of lies. Whatever. So I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Right? I'm not going to sit up here and exclude Obama or Clinton or Hillary Clinton. They're all full of lies. Right? Mm-hmm. But stuff like that does not need to be lied about.
Yeah.
If you reached out to her, you spoke to her, so be it. If you didn't get a chance to, so be it.
Yeah.
But don't lie about it.
Be real about it. Don't lie about it.
That's such a simple thing to not lie about. Take it as an L. You didn't go to Charlottesville to attend the funeral services. That would have been a great moment for him to kind of unite the country.
Yeah, exactly.
If he would have attended that event, that would have been the event to unite us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he didn't do that. Yeah. And that's what blows me away. And it's not like he didn't even send anyone to represent him in this. He sent out a bullshit tweet.
Horrible. Horrible. That's how you represent yourself in the presidency and represent the government, the federal government, or just our government, our leader. You know, you lie about that. You know, for one thing, it's a slap in the face of decency, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen where you go to these little silly rallies like you're still like running for, you're still having rallies, guy. That doesn't, presidents don't have rallies after they're elected. That's some kind of Hitler type shit. You're still having rallies and stuff, but you could have these little rallies in West Virginia or wherever, which over whatever, you know, to try to keep your constituents, you know, keep them in your corner, right? You're mm-hmm. still trying to keep these people in your corner. You're in the office, Dodo. Do a good job, and that in itself will keep them in the corner, dumbass. But instead of going, and you had a perfect opportunity to the mistakes that you made with Twitter and all the stuff and how you respond, you had a perfect opportunity to clean that up in one shot. You could have cleared up so many things, and you could have did a little damage control with your image,
a lot of damage control.
You could have did some damage control, but you failed to capitalize. You failed to capitalize on that opportunity, and that falls back on that. That's on his administration too. I mean, they need to be in his ear, like, "Hey, man, this is, you know." So I look at not just him, but everybody we're all taking notes. Everybody that's affiliated with that administration. You all aren't doing what you need to do. None of them. And so it's like you got this guy, you know, it's just, he should have been there. You should have at least sent somebody. Send, you know, I don't know, send the Secretary of State. Send the Vice President. If you're that busy golfing, or you're that busy tending to your business affairs, or lining them up, lining up stuff, which you're doing, you know, I mean, he should have been there. I mean, come on, man. That's a major tragedy. And again, going back to the two sides thing, like, there's good on both sides. Man, those people and people with like-minded views ran people over, man. They ran people over with a damn Dodge, whatever piece of shit is. A damn Dodge Charger, Challenger, or whatever. Sorry for the guys out there that had them cars. But ran somebody over with the doggone thing, right? Got a couple days later, what do we have going on in Spain? Somebody runs people over with a goddamn car like they've been doing over in Europe using those vehicles mm-hmm. as tools of destruction, tools of terror, right? It's mm-hmm. the same thing. It's the same thing. They labeled it what it was. You know, and one of the people who's a perpetrator is a country. It's one of the people of that country, a citizen of that country. Mm-hmm. The person of this country, that was terrorism, man. Label, call it what it is. I don't mm-hmm. care if the skin color makes you not call it terrorism. It is what it is, man. It's terrorism.
That's it.
So,
straight up, it's terrorism. I'm sorry. Just because a white dude with
domestic terrorism.
Just because a white dude did it here,
yep.
don't mean it ain't terrorism.
Exactly.
It's terrorism. If you want to label it domestic terrorism to make you feel better about yourself, so be it.
Yeah.
It's still terrorism, dog.
It's terrorism.
Ugly. All right, so let's move on here to this this next piece here. So we're looking at some current events. And I sent a current event to myself, and I switched it up a little bit. But let's talk about this real quick. Let me see if I can get this link to load up without a bunch of background volume. Six police officers were shot, one fatally, in three separate incidents around the U.S. You know, this is, I got this off of BuzzFeed. I like to keep myself kind of plugged in while we're podcasting in case something pops up now. Because you'd be amazed at what pops up, you know, while you're podcasting. So I try to keep myself plugged in and whatnot. And let me see here. I want to share my screen. Crowdcast did an update and what have you. Okay, so let me close that out. And give me 1 second here, Village. I'm trying to get this thing going. I'm going to screen share. There we go. Okay. So 6 police officers were shot, 1 fatally in 3 separate incidents around the U.S. You know, this is not the answer. Slink, this is not the answer, bro.
It's definitely not.
This is not, I denounce any violence against police officers. The ones that serve and protect us, I denounce any violence against them. Yeah. I don't care what the other knuckleheads are doing. The other knucklehead cops, they need to be found out and treated accordingly. But there are thousands of cops that are doing it right every day. And those are the ones that lose their lives. Yeah. It's not the ones that are out here raping people. It's not the ones that are pulling over black people for the hell of it or people of color for the hell of it. The good cops are the ones that are losing their lives.
Mm-hmm.
These 2 cops right here, you guys are looking at them. Kissimmee, Florida, I believe. Police officer Sam Howard left and Matthew Baxter lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read a little bit of this here. Responding to a complaining of a suspicious activity, 2 Kissimmee, Florida police officers were shot in what Police Chief Jerry O'Dell described as an ambush. One of the officers, Matthew Baxter, later died of his injuries. The other, Sergeant Sam Howard, 36, was gravely wounded and the prognosis does not look good, O'Dell said in a press conference. O'Dell said the police officers were conducting a consensual encounter to get out and check at the time of shooting. Nobody was being placed in handcuffs, O'Dell said. If all things checked out, the officers would have been on their way. Everett Miller, 45, was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, Village, let me get you guys, let me put you up on game real quick here. This is what now happens. They have meetings. They have new training. And so when you get pulled over by a cop and they want to instantly put you in handcuffs and search you, this is why. They want to go home just like you want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So when they pull you over and they're a little hostile towards you, these are the things that they're going to be using in their trainings. How do I know this? Because I've been through a police academy. This is the stories they use for training.
Mm-hmm.
And where you got to always watch your back. Always look at their hands. Control their hands. You know, we always complain about cops doing too much. Well, you know, I think these cops probably were like, look, let's do it like this. This seems like this is an okay situation. Did they ignore protocol? I don't know. I'm not in their heads. But they approached it in a way that they thought was fit. And now they're dead. I you know, Village people, this is what they see. This is what cops across the country see. And then you wonder why each city responds differently. Well, each person is different. Yes, are cops trained the same or they're supposed to? Yes, they're supposed to be trained the same. But the human response is different. I don't know. Slink, you got anything, man?
Man, it's a tough situation, man. You know, sorry for the loss of those guys, those cops' lives. And like you said, it's usually the good ones that are the ones that perish. You know, the bad ones doing all the bad stuff. You know how that goes with most stuff. You know, just like when it comes to regular, ordinary people, it goes for the cops. You know, but the good ones are the ones that go early.
The good die young.
Yeah, they die young. But it's real unfortunate, man. It's you know, like you said, it's a domino effect to that, you know, because that changes protocols within that, within the police organizations and how they interact with the public and how they interact with people, you know. So it's just a rough go, man. I mean, you know, because, you know, a lot of the things that have happened in the past as far as, you know, the, you know, police, you know, handling of black and brown people. So it's kind of, you know, it's really right now this day and age is a little touchy, the subject as far as cops in the community. I mean, it needs to be some kind of reconciliation between the cops and the public. I don't know how that's gonna come about, but you know, the whole perception of them, you know, of just the relationship between some communities and the cops, they need to really be those relationships, because, you know, you're going to keep having incidents like this. I mean, and these things do happen. I mean, regardless of, no society's perfect. I mean, things do happen like this, you know, but there needs to be a little, something has to be done, man, because things seem that they're not getting any better.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's pretty much all I have. Yeah,
it's a sad situation, man.
Yeah.
We also spoke earlier about the Barcelona terrorist attack with the vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, just be vigilant, people. It happened. It could happen to anybody. Be vigilant.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's jump into some knee-jerk reaction here, man. And I specifically held back on this knee-jerk reaction because I really wanted to get you on this one. Here it is. You grew up in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You grew up in the South. I didn't. I grew up on the West Coast. I'm not used to stuff like this. But growing up, you saw the Confederate statues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to get your thoughts on what is the big damn deal about taking those statues, putting them in a museum. I don't see why folks are so upset.
I know you.
It's history. I understand.
Yeah.
It is history. Yeah. Take that history, put it in a museum.
Where it belongs.
That's all I got, man. What are your thoughts? Because I don't know what to say about this.
I'm gonna tell you my thoughts personally, from being somebody down there that's grown up and been around those monuments or statues or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a grown man now, you know, I'm like, you know, and the man that's educated and history buff and stuff like that, you know, I'm like, look, like they gotta come out for what they stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not one that's saying, hey, erase history. You can't. History is what it is. You can't erase that. It is what it is. We all know. But those things right there, those things are strategic, man, in my mind. Those things are there. They're there for a reason. They're there to let you know. Stay mm-hmm. in your place. Those type of things. Mm-hmm. That's what that is to me when I see that. That is something, that's a reminder. That's a physical reminder. Not that's something that like the up here, these things in the head, those memories, those type of things, reminders that hey, that fades and it goes. But you need a physical reminder to always bring those memories back and to keep that fresh. Those things, those statues, they need to be taken down. They need to be put in museums or melted down. I don't care. But they don't need to be in public, because we all share this public sanctuary. We all share it. We're all citizens of this country, and you shouldn't have something up that demeans one group of people
mm-hmm.
and puts another group of people above another group of people.
There it is.
That's what that boils down to. That's what that is. You know, people are like, you know, you're taking away our culture, our history. I'm not taking away nothing. That's right. That's right there, and you can still celebrate that how you want to. We're not celebrating it. So we're part of the public, and we don't want that in the public. If I go down to Louisiana myself right now, I go help them push that damn statue right over. Any of them statues. That's how I feel about it. That's how strongly I feel about it. So
You know, God, dog, but because I look at these statues, right? And I respect history.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I respect history. I get it.
Yeah.
History isn't pretty.
It's not.
History is ugly. The creation of this country is ugly. What we did to Native Americans in this country is ugly. What was done to African Americans is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It's ugly. Mm-hmm. What was done to Latinos, ugly. The Chinese Americans building railroads, ugly.
Ugly. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But for you, as an American, to not be able to recognize what the Confederate Army represented and not call it ugly.
Mm.
Come on, man.
Yeah. You
come on, man.
It's like walking around with a perpetual L on your head. Okay, I'm going to glorify, and this is what I'm a part of. I'm a part of a losing that right there, that sentiment and that culture, if you want to call it, that's a L. You don't see in Germany, you don't see their land, they're pushing beyond that, beyond what happened with Hitler. You look at that stuff, you don't have, I'm sure that country doesn't have 1,300 monuments or statues to the losings, to the losers.
Right. You know,
the victors are remembered in history, not losers. So when I see that and I see people like bringing up this fascist stuff, bringing up Hitler and his Nazi stuff and his Confederacy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even the neo-Nazi and all those groups, those hate groups, right? Mm-hmm. You're all the losers, man. You're a small segment of society now. You're a small segment. You're all the losers. And look at the people. When you look at Charlottesville, look at all the people that were fighting. It wasn't a bunch of black people on one side and a bunch of white people. It was a bunch of white people fighting white people over the issue of equality. Because those people know, the ones that are fighting, they're like, hey, this is not right. They know survival mode for us all to survive and for this country to thrive. You're going to have to get on one page, partner. You're going to have to. And as long as they're sitting back, they're just, they say they can't progress. They can't do this, can't do that. Well, I see. Look at your mindset. You know, okay, that's your mindset. Your mindset, you're not going to progress like that. So, I mean, that's the L, man. That's the losing side of history, man. And they want to be on side. I don't want to be associated with that. I want to be associated with the winning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want to be associated with. You're still pushing some old ideology that's old and failed and tried and true in its failure.
Mm-hmm. So let me try and put this up for us real quick, Slink. I got something that I want to try to display. Let's see if it works. No, it doesn't work. Not the way I want it to, at least. Yeah, it's not going to work. But there's a photo that I'm looking at on my side. And it literally, it's a little writing. It says, Lee did not want divisive symbols following him to the grave, Horn wrote. At his funeral in 1870, flags were notably absent from the procession. Former Confederate soldiers marching did not don their old military uniforms, and neither did the body they buried.
Mm-hmm.
Look, General Lee did a job.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know his personal thoughts on slavery, anti-slavery, whatever. I don't know that part of history. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I do. Mm-hmm. But for this man to say, you know what? I don't want this to be a part of my legacy when this is all said and done. I don't want this to be a part of anything that I am associated with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
It to me, it says a lot. Like, I'm trying to zoom in on it here. Let me try this one more time, Slink, just so the viewers can kind of get a quick peek of what I'm looking at. It's basically just an empty, just a picture real quick, but let me see if I can share real quick with you guys. And let's see here. Okay, there it is. Lee did not want such divisive symbols following him to the grave, Horn wrote. At this funeral in 1870, flags were notably absent from the procession. Former Confederate soldiers marching did not don their old military uniforms, and neither did the body they buried. Right there. Mm-hmm. The losing side was like, look, we're done. We're cool. Mm-hmm. Right? But you know what kills me? When you have people that are literally like are hollering, Hillary Clinton lost. Get over it. The Confederate lost how many years ago?
Get over it.
And y'all still celebrate this yearly. Mm-hmm. Like yearly.
Yeah.
And here, I got one more for us too, Slink. Let me go ahead and fucking put this up. This is, I think I figured out a better way to share it here. Let me go ahead and, yeah, here we go. So the Confederate flag isn't racist, huh? As a people, we are fighting to maintain the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white woman or the white man over the inferior or colored race. As a national emblem, it, the Confederate flag, is significant of our higher cause, the cause of a superior race. William T. Thompson, designer of the Confederate flag.
There you go.
So for all of you, for all of you that are saying the Confederate flag is not a symbol of racism, please miss me with that. Please miss me.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Black and white.
Right there. We all know this anyway. I mean, uh-huh. Anybody, like, you know, that's just their excuse. Keep it politically correct. Like, oh, you know. Like, nah.
Heritage.
That is a symbol of oppression, mm-hmm, and racism. If anything is, it's one of the biggest symbols of it worldwide, man. It's up there. When I see that to me, that's the same thing as a Nazi symbol.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in the same breath. I see it in the same light, my man. That's the way I see it.
So, Slim, before we get to some village idiots, this is what I want to say real quick and get your thoughts on. We have a president now who compared George Washington to Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. How do you compare Robert Lee and Stonewall Jackson to George Washington? A Confederate leader, general, who wished to continue or was on the side that wished to continue slavery, right? I get it. George Washington had slaves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jefferson had, they all had slaves. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
But Stonewall Jackson and, excuse me, Village, Stonewall Jackson and Robert Lee were literally leaders in the army to keep us oppressed.
Yes.
If you cannot see the difference or the distinct difference between that two, I would encourage you to go back and reread your history books. Actually, don't read your history books, because it'll just further create the narrative that this is okay. So read something else.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on what the hell President Trump is trying to do with that statement. I know you I know you saw when he said that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all know that he's not the brightest. So, in the statement right there, you know, he spits out stuff that's off the top of his head and without any factual backing to it. You know what I mean? So, I'll put this in a real nutshell. When those two groups of individuals, when you try to compare those, okay? The one thing I'll say, the thing that to me that crushes it all is this simple fact. Those Confederates, Stonewall Jackson, Stonewall and Robert E. Lee, right?
Mm-hmm.
They seceded from this country. They seceded from this union. They seceded. And I don't know if people really understand the gravity of that. They seceded from this union. And when they seceded from this union, they caused the war that basically killed hundreds of thousands of American soldiers and citizens here on this land, on this soil. George Washington, you know, those founders right there, those guys, you know, yeah, they were slave owners. So to me, they're in all the same breath. But when you, but to compare those two, they're not in the same category. They're really not, because these guys, they didn't cause a war that disrupted this whole country, and also they didn't fight to keep a race of people enslaved for financial gain, because that's what it's all about. That's what it was all about. That's why you have the country you have. It's for financial gain. If you have a whole country, you have means of free laborers. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are going to excel ahead of all the other countries, and so that's that. But back to stay back on track with what I was saying. Basically, you know, they're in a different category, because those guys didn't cause the turmoil, and didn't, you know, they fought for our independence of this country from England, right, from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's a different country, a different entity. You have here, they tried to split this country and tear this country apart, you know, and they caused American citizens on both sides of that, because basically those were former American citizens. When the war was over, they became American citizens again. So you cause American citizens, you know, from the north and from the south, you know, you were the head of that Confederate cause, or a huge part of it, you know, and you cause lots, and you cause death. So that's the way I see it. And those guys didn't do that. They didn't cause their fellow countrymen to die, you know, and these guys did that. So and if the people that try to glorify those two guys, they should look at it like that, because that right there, that's not a black and white issue. That's just a right and a wrong issue. You have two sets of guys. Those are four white guys right there. And so you go ahead and compare those like that. So there's no way you can wiggle around that. And there's no way you can compare those two sets of I don't know what you want to call it, influential leaders or whatever. You can't compare those two sets of people.
No.
And that shows you the lack of just
pure understanding.
So many characteristics that we need in a leader. That shows you the lack of it with the president. You know, somebody need to bash his Twitter fingers, man. Twitter. He did himself in with social media. Usually you message social media, you put something out there, people, you know, they'll get you. They'll get on you about stuff, man. That's what people gonna let you know. But this dude is like he just doesn't learn. It's like one mistake with that thing, I'd have been like, you know what, let's get off of it. You're using it too much. It's not official U.S. policy. You can't be putting out saying stuff on that doggone thing. That should be how you doing today, America. I love you. I'm going in there and put some work in for you. That's all we want to hear from your ass, man. We don't need all the grandstanding. You know, we don't need all that. Mm-mm. So get to it.
Get to work, and that's simply it, man.
That's it, man.
And for all those people that really don't get it, reach out to me and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what it means to a person of color. Because I've had to break it down for a few people. I had to break it down for a young lady the other day. I said, imagine yourself in a country, right? Let's switch roles. Let's switch roles and where blacks are the dominant people in this country. And you as a white woman, you come from being brought over here, you're raped, you're impregnated by your slave owner, right? You're impregnated by the man that owns you. Then coming through history, you're marginalized, you're mistreated because of the color of your skin, you're lynched, killed, burned because you're this color, because you're white. You're considered inferior because you're white. You go to a park, you see the monuments erected to show that you will always be under our thumb. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, this is strategic. The way mm-hmm. those monuments are placed high mm-hmm. up like that, yep.
mm-hmm.
that is strategic.
There's thousands of them.
Yes. That is not by chance. They are put up that way for a specific reason. They're so high up and they're looking down. That's not mm-hmm. just something that was done. That was done with purpose. But people don't understand that. People think I'm talking out my ass when I say, look at how this is done. Oh, it's just coincidence. No, the fuck it's not.
It's not.
It's not a fucking coincidence.
No, it's not coincidence. You know, one thing, let me break that down to you, too. I could even give you some info. I'm going to send you some stuff, Kev, about that.
Okay.
But I could even break it down even more as far as how it's strategically set up. Okay, you know, once, you know, your slavery, you know, emancipation and all that stuff, that system lost its grip, there has to be another system that's put into place. You know, it has to be something that's not as bam in your face, but it has to be a system that's a little slicker. We could jive it and we can make it work. The system was in place until the 60s. That's why you had the Jim Crow era. You had all those. That's why those statues weren't erected right after the Civil War, people. Some of those statues were erected in the 1900s. A lot of them, they were all erected in the, most of them were erected in the 1900s, 1920s, 1930s, around that time when it was still trying to keep Black Americans down. That whole Jim Crow, that whole system is all set up. And it all goes hand in hand with those statues. Those statues are a part of that too. It's all systematic. That stuff is all set up there. That's a constant reminder. And they're not just down south either. They're everywhere. They're up north too. They're in places like New York. They're in places like New Jersey. They're all over our country. And they're on the side of mountains. They're not just the ones that you see that's standing up on a big bronze statue. That's at the cul-de-sac of a park or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The turnaround of a park. No, they're everywhere. They really are. They're everywhere. Everywhere. And there's a reminder. You know, that's why they need to be put in the right place. They need to be put in museums.
That's it.
Put in museums. You know.
I'm trying to, as we're speaking here, I'm trying to pull this thing up. And I really want people to hear this. I need y'all village to hear this. Okay. I need Slink, give me a few more minutes. Okay. Cause mm-hmm. I know you got to go. I just need people to understand, how serious this is for a lot of Black people. Okay. So we're going to screen share here.
Both sides of, I mean, sorry, Gianno, do you agree with that? Do you think, I mean, they're good people on both sides of this debate. We talk about keeping these statues up. People that I've talked to say this is about history. How do we move forward? How do we learn from those mistakes if we just tear everything down?
You know, I come today with a very heavy heart. Last night, I couldn't sleep at all because President Trump, our president, has literally betrayed the conscience of our country. The very moral fabric in which we've made progress when it comes to race relations in America, he's failed us. And it's very unfortunate that our president would say things like he did in that press conference yesterday when he says, well, there's, you know, good people on the side of the Nazis. They weren't all Nazis. They weren't all white supremacists. Well, Mr. President, good people don't pile around with Nazis and white supremacists. Maybe they don't consider themselves white supremacists and Nazis, but certainly they hold those views. This has become very troubling. And for anyone to come on any network and defend what President Trump did and said at that press conference yesterday is completely lost in the potential to be morally bankrupt. No. I am sorry. I believe that, and I'm being very honest. As someone who's been talking about these issues for a very long time, I'm sorry that this is where we are right now, and I hope the president learns a lesson from his press conference on yesterday. It's disturbing.
Gianno, these are very...
Okay. Let that sink in, village. Let that sink in. We're not just pulling this out of our ass. This is hurtful.
Yeah.
History is hurtful. Slink, are you ready to get some Village Idiots in, man? Because I'm about done with this one. I'm tired of I'm over it. Are you ready to end on a good note, guys?
Yeah, man. I'll end on a positive note.
I don't have anything else. Like, I'm trying to laugh because I'm that kind of person. But
I'm with you, man. That I feel that too. I feel what he feels, and not just by seeing the video, but I feel it like you feel it. You feel it every day. And just to see that, it brings it home even more, and it strikes a chord with us. You know what I mean? We feel that, because that's like, you know, we're in it, and it's hard for somebody on the outside that's not in it and that's seeing it to really, really. You can from the outside, you can empathize and say, yeah, that is not right. I have these conversations with folks. You know, my wife's Italian, man. You know, so, I mean, and so I know other people, they see it too. But when you in it, we all have that. It's almost like a mental telepathy. I'm not playing, I'm serious. It's almost like we all have that. And we don't even have to talk to each other. I can just look at you and I can see it and I can feel it. Because we all share it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you can't describe. That's why when I see you, I call you my brother. That's why when I see you, you know, I give you that look. I give you that heads up. I give you that. Because I feel you. I don't even know you, but I feel you. I share that with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel you. You know, so trust, man, for real. But we're going to, let's move on with it on a good.
Yeah, let's end it on a high note.
We got good, man.
Yeah. You got to just get your head right from all that. You got to get your head right.
It's a challenge, man.
It's every day. Every fucking day it's something different with these motherfuckers. It's every day.
It's a challenge, man. But that's why we're here. That, you know, we got to spread it. I mean, you know, whether it's coming here on the Village, putting something on the timeline, speaking to the younger generation, speaking to a younger cat, speaking to the young ladies. You know, we're doing it, man. You know,
yeah,
you're on it, bro.
All right, man.
Making a difference.
Let's do it, bro. Let's do these Village Idiots. Let's go home. Let's finish it strong. Here we go. First Village Idiot. Police issue warrant for Texas man caught having sex with chain link fence.
Wow. Wow.
It's got to be your rough life.
Wow, the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Ingenuity, man.
No. Hell no. There's no amount
ingenuity.
No amount of lubricant that's going to make this okay.
That is tough. That's a tough one right there, boy.
Bruh.
Goodness gracious.
He hurt my soul with that one. I was like, what? All right, let's read a little bit of this here.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God.
All right,
that's crazy, man.
Let's read a little bit of this here. Police in Texas are looking for a man who allegedly had sex with a neighbor's fence while in a drunken stupor. Eliodoro Estala, 32, of Austin, was scheduled to appear in court this week, facing a charge of indecent exposure related to his March 1st arrest. Estala failed to show up, prompting police to issue a warrant for his arrest, according to the Houston Chronicle. According to the newspaper, a woman saw Estala urinating on her fence at about 11:30 a.m. On March 1st, she started filming him with her phone, and he eventually started taking off his clothes before having sex with the fence, according to the police report. The woman told police Estala also stimulated oral sex on the fence during his act. Police reported that they found Estala in a drunken stupor, according to the Houston Chronicle. He denied the whole incident when presented with images from the witness's phone to the bitter end. He tried to pull that Shaggy. It wasn't me. you know,
to the bitter end.
To the bitter end, dog.
My man was like, he went to town on that damn fence.
Dog.
He was pleasuring that fence. He was doing it all. Man,
and then they said he performed oral on the fence. I mean,
after pissing on it. You a wild boy. That dude, that's a wild cat. Look at the look on his face, dude. Bruh. That's a wild cat. He looking at it like, yeah, I did it.
Yup.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I'm a wild cat. I'm a wild boy. I know.
That's that Latin R. Kelly right there, bruh. Hit him with that R. Kelly.
Hey, man.
I'm going to piss on you. Man. Piss on you.
You got to watch out for chip, chip, bing, bing. Yeah, hey, man, you know. Hey, like Dave Chappelle going to get him. I told you, boy. Yep.
Good God. This is what we're doing. Damn it.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's go to the next one here. Let me pull this up. Goodness, because I don't load them all up at the same time anymore because it slows everything else down.
Yeah.
So I have to do it one at a time and it actually goes faster. Okay. All right, so here we go. Next one just loaded up. Here we go. I want to screen share. Boom. Florida woman drunkenly bites man's fishing line, swims away with lure, police says.
Damn. What the hell? Florida, man. It always, man. What?
He is right.
Man, and swims away with the look, man. Look at them eyes, man. What is she on?
She was toe up. Bet.
She leave them opioids alone down there in Florida, man. Mm-hmm. The crystal, whatever. Something's going on. What makes you swim? How you bite the look? I don't know, man.
Mm.
That sounds incredible, too, all in one, man. I mean, to do all that?
Mm-hmm.
Man, alcohol is a bad thing sometimes when you get a little too much in you. Because look at my eyes. She was on something.
She was on something. A Florida fisherman got quite the catch Tuesday. But it happened to be an intoxicated 22-year-old woman instead of a prized fish, according to police. Authorities were called to St. John's County Pier at 6 p.m. after a fisherman said a woman bit his fishing line and swam off with his lure. Wow. The fisherman told deputies that Alexandria Turner, 22, appeared to be intoxicated when she swam up to his fishing line and cursed at him, according to police report. The 22-year-old woman then allegedly bit the fishing line and swam away with the rigging.
Oh, my God.
When Turner was asked to come to the pier office, she reportedly became belligerent and refused to walk inside. Turner then started upsetting the sense of public norm at the pier when police tried to take her into protective custody. Turner refused to let deputies... Turner refused to let deputies handcuff her and scream, "I'm fucking naked," several times, the report said. When she was later arrested for disorderly intoxication and resisting arrest without violence, according to Action News Jacksonville. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Get a good look, America.
Imagine that playing out in your head. Can you imagine seeing that somebody, you out of the pier, you're fishing, some girl swims up, see some young lady swims up, grabs your fishing line. She must have some strong-ass teeth, too.
And yeah.
Takes his lure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she bit through the line.
She's like,
"I'm fucking naked." I'm fucking naked.
Like, what the hell, man? That's what that's like. I mean, damn.
Dog, I just sat back and just
watched. Man, they got some strong stuff people get in their system these days. You got to be on something, Amanda, to do something like that, man. Mm-hmm. That's, poor thing. And look at her face. You know she was on something. Because look, that's a face of regret right there.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
That high coming down.
Man, it's coming down, man. Eyes watery, eyes red. Man, mm-hmm. She look, man, poor thing. Man, mm-hmm. She better stay away from the bad sauce, man. Leave the bad sauce alone.
Man. All right, let's go here. One more. I found three good ones. Or did I only find two good ones? No, that was it. I think I just got two this week. I found two really good ones and left it alone. Slink, who's your village idiot, bro?
Man. Oh, man. They're close. But I think the first one, it was a doozy, man. Because it was on multiple levels, you know. He did like she did some amazing stuff because she was swimming, you know. Swimming like she was intoxicated or whatever's in her. Super good teeth, strong teeth, with the line, swim off with the line. So, I critique that one like the Gong Show. She get like that's a real good one. She get like an 8 on that one. But my man with the fence, man, he's like, that's like legendary. I mean, because, he pissed on the fence. he pissed on the fence, probably cursed it out. used his special man tool on the fence. kind of lingers on the fence. All he did, all those things, man. He did so many different things on the fence, man. It's amazing. So he has to win that. I mean,
you know what?
10 too. He gets a 10. Scale 1 to 10. That's a 10.
The way you broke that down for me, sir, I'm going to concur with you. He is the village idiot for this show. I'm going to put him away. I'm going to put his file away. Like you said, in about a year from now, we're going to have a village idiot face-off.
Yeah.
But this guy is the village idiot, man. Like,
yeah, we got
to do it. Yeah.
Definitely.
And about a year from now, we're going to do a show, and we're going to do bring up all these old village idiots and be like, who do y'all got?
Yeah.
I'm talking about like a blowout show.
Yeah, blowout show. Idiot of the year.
Yeah, just idiot of the year. And like find a way to send them a prize. Find out where they live and send them like a gift card to Applebee's and just don't mess up.
They'd be like, what the hell? I got a gift? Oh, yeah, you got a gift.
Yep.
Yeah.
For the village idiot.
Yes. Entertained us. Entertained us very well.
That's right. All right, Slink. So tell people how to get a hold of you, sir. Because my tongue is going numb.
Yeah, at Slink Grindstone, or you can check me out on, just hit me up on Facebook, or check me out at BeatStars. Just look up Slink Grindstone and you'll find me.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
I'm at Enlighten My Mind. I handle the village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. The show can be heard on Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, and iTunes by searching Welcome to the Village. We can also be heard on Tumblr by searching JOHNSOMKL. 2004. Crowdcast replays are played on the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, y'all. Go give us a subscribe. Give us a few likes. You can also see replays of Welcome to the Village on my personal Tumblr account. That's by searching JOHNSOMKL 2004. Google phone is 619-202-1562. Email welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website welcometothevillage.com. You can tune into Crowdcast every Wednesday. We're trying to do Wednesdays a little earlier because we're trying to get the East Coast people more involved. So we're trying to start around 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. Slink has expressed he's not available for that. But we're still here Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. for our regular Saturday morning show. We're just trying to go a little bit earlier on Wednesdays because we want to get more East Coast people involved. Because it's 6 o'clock here, it's 9 o'clock there. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get the East Coast involved as well. Advertising. Please come check out our Fiverr page. Check us out at Fiverr.com, F-I-V-E-R-R. If you are a business owner and you need to promote with the village. Promote. Search JOHNSOMKL 2004 on Fiverr. Check us out on Fiverr. Go through our packages. We have a la carte packaging as well. Check us out. We are trying to do this big. I am pushing my butt off to do this. I am talking with a sore mouth. I don't care. I love the village and what it represents and what we do. I want you guys that are business owners to Give me your business. We will not let you down, okay? So with that in mind, Schlink, great show, bro. Great show. Got a little emotional because of the topics, but great show. Great show. Love having you on, my brother. Can't wait to get you on again,
man.
Glad
to be here, man.
Definitely. So, Vils, as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye.
Peace, guys.
You rocking with the village. You rocking with the village. Get it.